meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome.
Welcome back,
summer.
Father.
Summer has come.
Summer.
We went from winter straight into summer. Forget about spring.
That we did. But it's absolutely beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I mean, it is
gorgeous. Outside.
This is, you can now say that we are really, truly in spring, although it doesn't feel like summer. It looks
yet.
Like spring. Everything is just beautiful.
Last week it did feel like summer. It was like in the 80s.
So I was in Rochester.
You were in Rochester, yeah.
So I missed the heat wave.
Yeah, the heat, well, yes.
But I tell you, it's just, these are picture-perfect days in Chicago. The blue sky, green grass, the flowers on the trees.
Mm-hmm. The birds are singing.
La, la,
la. The trees are blue, are budding. There's some, like, you know the tree that we have in front of the rectory, Father? It's blooming. It's got, like, little flower, the white flowers.
I should move to that side of the building, then.
As I come in the rectory, I see it. I don't see it on my side.
See, I don't. I'm always on. I'm on the,
I'm on the same side,
so
as you.
Take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And your tree, I haven't been in your office or I haven't noticed it. But
it's budding.
I think all the trees.
All the trees and the bushes too are.
So it's the law of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That before someone can really live, they have to first die.
Because
you go back to the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
This beautiful transformation in God's creation, you know, the trees, leaves turn beautiful red and yellow and orange, and the people like to go out into the country and to the mountains. I wish we had mountains around here, but just to capture the beauty of the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
But no sooner does that happen, I feel like we just talked about this. Did we?
No.
No.
I don't remember speaking
to this.
You might get a flashback to last year at this time.
Maybe. But
that's what I do a lot.
Seven times. You got to hear something seven times.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think more.
Maybe more.
As we get older.
Yeah. As we get older. That's so true. That's so true. I find myself.
I speak for myself.
I'm only speaking for me.
No, I'm not. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
I
go to my room. I've got to do. You know, it's just this multitasking. Where you've got to. There's just so much going through your head and things you got to do. And so you're going here. You're going there. What did I come here for?
Mm-hmm.
I came here to pick up something. I'm looking for something. What is it that I'm looking for? You know, or you like I've done it here. I'm looking for my glasses and I'm wearing them. You know, I'm wearing the glasses. But but going back to the autumn, so the leaves. You know, we behold the beauty of the season, and then the leaves fall to the ground, and we find ourselves in the dead of winter. And this was a long winter, but dark and dreary and cold and. Just death comes to the earth. But before we blink our eyes, now we can say that because we can enjoy it. But the leaves come back on the trees, the flowers and the blue sky, the green grass, the warmth of the sun, which is just so beautiful to feel, right? That warm sun.
Mm-hmm.
Until it gets really hot and humid and muggy and all that. And then
we're complaining about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then we want the cool weather back.
But anyway, such is life.
Mm-hmm.
But it is beautiful. It really is beautiful. So I got a couple of things today. I'd like to share with you the poem that I read on on Sunday. Nice. I wish, it's beautiful. Had you heard that before?
I've not.
No.
No?
I've not, no.
Wow, it's amazing because I thought everybody knew this.
No.
And
that's why we look to you to bring us something that we haven't heard before.
All right, that's good. So we'll hear it again. Maybe the first time on the radio, but because I asked a lot of people and they had never heard it before.
No.
And I remember, I tell you, so what happened was I came back from Rochester last week, and it's always, I think God has given me this little bit of a respite every 3 weeks, just to rest. A respite is rest, right? Mm-hmm. From the, just the stress of it all. And I don't know, I just don't think it's normal that we're all under so much stress. I don't think life should be this way.
No.
And it's that our lives are, you know, lived in a frenetic kind of way. Everything is, we're just, seems to me, so many of us are so mm-hmm. agitated all the time, moving from here to there, and it's like these screaming voices all around us, vying for our attention. And
so complicated, Father.
It's complicated.
Even
why?
Like yesterday, we went to a wake service. My dad's godmother, 92 years old she was, and we were just saying, the younger people, talking how those generations, their lives were, life was so different. It wasn't easy, never was, but it was more simple.
More slow-paced, I think.
Yes, and that's how life should be.
Should be.
Yes, and of course, they were busy, of course, like everybody, they had their responsibilities, and they were very responsible people, too.
Hardworking and responsible.
Hardworking, responsible, always thinking of others before themselves, but life was more simple, and that's why, you know, all the they live so many years, a long life.
Well, and they had it seems to me they had a sincere and deeper joy,
yes.
even in the midst of their
sure.
own hardships, because it, you know, life is always hard. That's the thing.
Yeah,
and when,
yes, if, yes.
when we go to this to the poem was written in 1927. But
wow.
even if I go back to the Psalms,
yes.
and I think of what's written in the Psalms, and so you know that every generation has its sufferings to mm-hmm. to bear.
Sure.
It's just it's part of life. But but what we're talking about is the stress that just doesn't seem. It's not healthy.
No,
and
no.
it's not normal. I don't think it's normal. And the fact that young people feel so stressed out mm-hmm. is not a good sign. I don't think that's a good sign at all.
Or even like children.
Children. Because there's just too much noise or whatever. Yesterday I was, I'm going to, as always, be all over the place, but this young woman I baptized when she was a baby, an infant, mm-hmm. she was here from...
Florida?
From Florida. Well, she's got a job. She works in hotels and helps to set up new hotels. And so she was in Chicago, and... I baptized her, so that was 32 years ago, wow. if you can imagine. And I worked with her mother and father before they were married, and before
sure.
she was born, before she was came into this world.
Mm-hmm.
And we started working right out of high school. And then, you know, after a period of a few years, I was discerning vocation to the priesthood, and these two people started dating each other, and they, you know, got married,
mm-hmm.
and... So they had their daughter, and so I baptized her. I was a newly ordained priest. I had just been ordained a year, and I've only seen her a few times in my life, and usually when she was much younger. But she happened to be in Chicago, so she contacted me and just said she'd like to see me and all that. And I said, absolutely, you know. So I picked her up and took her for a ride, let her, you know, just show her around Chicago. It was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful day. And Chicago is such a beautiful city.
It
really is. It's an absolutely beautiful city. And you really take great pride in, you know, showing people Chicago, because it's, especially when people come from smaller towns or you have to go to New York to see something like Chicago. I mean, they're similar cities in a sense. But then we went to Greektown to have lunch, and it was so beautiful. It was quiet. It was about maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so there weren't...
Everybody was already done with lunch, back to work.
It was right around 2 o'clock, I think, because it was maybe even later, maybe about 2:30. But there was only one other table, and it's the one little Greek restaurant I just absolutely love. I love the ambiance and the smell of the fresh seafood and all that. And it's right there in Greektown on Halstead. And we had a booth, you know, by a window, and so you saw the beauty. And it was just picture perfect, you know, and you just saw the beautiful city, you know, as you're looking east from where we were sitting. And then they had this wonderful music, you know, the Greek music. In the background, and it was so beautiful. But we were talking about our lives, and she was telling me where she had been, and she's been all over the place. You know, she'd been traveling a lot, and but very stressed. You know, very stressed. Mm-hmm. I said something about millennials. We were talking about that, and she took offense to that. She said, "No, I'm not a millennial. You know, I don't know what I am, but I'm not a millennial." And she too at 32 was very critical of the millennials. So, But at that young age, you know, it's interesting to listen to her take on what's going on in the world and in life and all that. And two, the thing, you know, where do you find somebody, you know, this is the hookup generation. And if you want to be in a long-term relationship and get married and have family, where do you go today? You know, this I'm hearing this more and more. Where do you go? But she doesn't, you know, she's not into the drug scene or the alcohol or anything like that. She says, I just want to do nothing that's going to alter her thinking, you know.
Yes.
So she's pretty straight-laced, but, you know. Anyway, so, but as I was there, I was talking about Italy. She hadn't been there, and we were talking about, because it happened to be siesta time, really. We were enjoying siesta, right? A little bit of rest in the midst of the day, middle of the day. And the other day, Sunday, we had had a busy weekend. Of course, I had all the morning masses. I had a break between masses, and I had the healing mass on Sunday. Had it on Saturday as well. So I had that break between the morning masses and the evening mass. So I knew I wanted to take a ride because it was a beautiful day as well. But I needed, of course, to rest, and I ate a little bit. And I found on the, and this is the nice thing about the internet, Italian music. The music you listen to is your what do they call it, like cafe music or
as you're eating
and it was so beautiful, and I just thought, wow, this is, and it made me think again how really I long for that. When I say siesta, I mean that the society would reorder itself around siesta. We've talked about this before on the radio, I think, but it made me again think about that because it took me back to Italy. Or even, you know, my apartment was on the sixth floor of a building. There was a pizzeria on the first floor. I had a beautiful balcony that looked over the Dome of St. Peter. It was just beautiful. I mean, this is how God really put that in my hands, because there was a filmmaker who owned the apartment. And he was in Palermo doing filming for a year, so he needed somebody to
sort of look over at the apartment.
Exactly, and he was very happy that, and this was through somebody else that I got it. And so he was very happy for me to have it for a year.
Sure.
You know, it happened to be my sabbatical year. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was what a great gift.
Yeah.
And but the windows there, you open those windows, there's no screens, it's huge windows. You open the windows, you can hear all the chatter on the streets below, and there's restaurants everywhere, and so you could hear at night you could hear the fork and the spoon, all that are hitting the plates, and you'd hear the glasses, and you could hear, and then they had the violins and the singing and you know, serenading and all that. It was just beautiful. It was so beautiful. In the pizzeria, I was part of their family, and so they always had a table for me every night. That's where I would.
And the smell of the food.
Oh my gosh! Oh jeez.
Okay, now you're making me want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wow. But I, you know, we need, this is the wisdom of other cultures or times past, when you'd work into the course of a day that siesta, a rest. And, you know, you gather around the table, gather around food and conversation, and you don't rush away. You stay there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there, everything is very fresh, and, you know, it's there. And I would watch because I live there, you know, so I saw how every day they would bring in, through the course of the day, they kept bringing in fresh vegetables and bread, you know, all the bread and all that. My gosh. But the but this is what we're lacking in. And so when we were sitting there in the restaurant at the Greek, we were just talking about that and how life shouldn't be this way.
And how people there in the culture or in other cultures, they sit around the table and they enjoy each other's company and there's no rush. And you're just there and time just flies. But you're here where, okay, we got to go. Let's eat and we got to go.
I would say that time doesn't fly. It seems like it's a slower pace.
Well, here it is,
yes.
But over there, it's like, it's so laid back and so pleasant. That's like you wish, can we just stay here?
Well, maybe it's a little bit of a foretaste of heaven. I don't know, probably. But eternal rest and peace, you know, whatever.
Because over there, there's no time.
There's no time.
There's no limit. There's no limit.
In heaven.
In heaven. In
no
heaven,
time.
Yeah.
And no work, we hope. Or if it's work, it's good work.
Yeah.
It's
good work. Work we like.
No, yeah, you wonder how long we can continue at this pace because it's not healthy. I just don't think it's healthy.
And that's why we're sick. And that's another thing. We were saying how the people back then or like the people that grow up on the farms or small towns are healthier because they ate, everything was natural.
Right.
Life was a lower pace. It was just so different. And now we're over here. Yes, we do have the comforts, but we're under so much stress and we're sick as far as our bodies are reacting to this stress.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And I think, you know, see, there's got to be a societal change because you can't do it unless you, at least I can't, because my problem is I live where I work. And so if I'm not, even if I'm in my room resting, I'm conscious of the fact that I'm in the workplace. And so the work is kind of hanging over me. It's just there. And so the guilt sets in, and then it's like I've always got things to do. But to get away is, you know, you've got to pull yourself away from all this. But you can't do it if the society doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to, you know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In other words, you know, I like Labor Day, Memorial Day, the 4th of July, because they're not religious holidays, strictly speaking. They're secular holidays. There's a religious element to it, to them. Mm-hmm. But they're not our Catholic feast days. So those feast days, we're busy. Well, this is a good business because you the richness of the tradition and the celebration, the adoration of God, the Triduum, Easter, Christmas, all this. These are beautiful. Now, we can't do this all the time because we would burn out. That's why the church in our wisdom has what we call this liturgical year where you've got your highs and your lows. Mm-hmm. And
then even Sunday. Well, I know you're
Sunday,
working.
But no,
the Lord's Day.
Well, why Jesus, see, God in his wisdom incorporated in the work of life the Sabbath to make sure that everybody would put the work aside and come together in the worship of God and in the communion of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And again, by tradition, it's not the reality today, but Sunday would be the day of rest. Yes. And that's when people would gather around the table and, you know, you'd have
your Sunday
drive or whatever it might be. People have, different families had different traditions. I don't know if they're observed today as they were in the past, certainly not in a societal way, because in the old days stores wouldn't be open.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have stores open. Even restaurants wouldn't be open.
No. Saturday was the day to prepare for Sunday. Yeah.
And even in Italy, speaking of Italy, they always wish you not a happy weekend, but un buon domenico, you know, domenico. Like a happy Sunday, you know, because that was the day, it was a Sabbath, a day of rest. And so still, that's a common greeting as you go into the weekend there. But anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We got to take a little rest.
Yes.
We'll come back and try to determine how to resolve this this issue that is killing us as a people, I think. Anyway, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change. An AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change, one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Find peace and healing. That's what we're really talking about, peace and healing. Because it's killing us as a people, this overly stressed society we live in. The culprit, I believe, is part and parcel technology, mm-hmm. which is a good thing, but it's got that
bad thing too.
That dark side, which it just it sucks you in, and it creates. You know, the other thing is, sorry, was like I just abhor meetings. I absolutely hate meetings, and so today I happened to see there was some report from the Vatican, or it was one of the Catholic news sites, and they were talking about, well, there was, you know, the synod and you know the bishops and the lay people, and that we need to have these meetings where, you know, I don't want meetings, you know, that's saying, just keep the meeting, let's stop. Feel like it's the tool of the devil sometimes.
Distract.
The thing is that we don't have sufficient rest, and this is not good.
And like you said earlier, Father, when you're stressed out, not enough rest, what happens? Our body, we react, and we become irritable, not Christian, you know what I'm saying? And it's like we snap right away. We don't have the same patience. It's
That's
not
the
good.
Pressure. I mean, so much is put on you, and then there's so much you want to do and so much that, you know, you kind of don't think you're making a difference or something like that.
Right,
what do you do? And then you get hit from all angles. It's you need that time to just sit.
You get hit from all angles.
Exactly.
That's the thing, you know.
It's how do you, you know, maneuver that?
Yeah, balance it out.
That's the question, you know. Mm-hmm. And I say there's got to be a societal awakening to this need, because you cannot, if we could restore just the Sabbath, that Sunday would be designated every week a holiday, a day for rest. You know, close the store. I mean, it's not going to happen, right? But if we could go back to that, because you can't, if we're not in this together, then it's not going to happen, you know? For some people, it may, but for many people, it may not, because some of us are kind of wired in a way that we've got to be responsible. We've got to be about the work of life. This is a gospel mandate. But I said God ensures that we have a respite, that we have rest. And if it's not a collective reality, in other words, if it's not a societal reality, then you can't, you're going to feel the pressure. Even when you're trying to find rest, you're going to feel the pressure, you know. Or, as you said, what did you just say?
You get hit from all angles.
You get hit from all sides.
Yeah.
And it's like it doesn't stop. It just keeps coming. I use the example, we've talked about this, I know, on the radio, but the Lucy, and Ethel in the, the chocolate factory. And that chocolate just keeps coming and coming and coming.
And faster and faster.
Faster and faster and faster.
But then you notice at the end what happens. It becomes to a point where you can't do anything. You just let it be. And
that's exactly
what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's almost like taking that time to say, okay, well, you know, okay, if it's going to happen, let it happen. Let me rest. Let me finally rest.
Exactly.
Not to be the final rest, but, you know.
No, I understand why. When, you know, for the dead, we always say, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? But the, last week, I had to delete all my emails. I just couldn't. There was like over 2,000.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I don't know where they came from. And I just had to delete them because just knowing that they were there was cause for stress. Because what it means is they demand a response. Even if they don't want a response, they're demanding a response.
Mm-hmm. It's like
open me
there.
And respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't. I said, I've told this to Christina before sometimes, but because there's so much that's going on all the time, mm-hmm. and people don't understand. They don't, you know. Because when a person has a need, it's their need. It's they don't see that there's other things going on sometimes, and that's okay. But there's got to be some kind of balance. And so when I'm overly stressed, and I've got all these things that have to be done, they're just multiple things calling for my attention. Sometimes what I have to do is just go clean my room, or clean the office.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of things, throw things away. Because what happens is if my room is in a mess or my office is cluttered, then I have to, before I can unclutter my mind, I have to at least see that things are uncluttered around me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know? And so I find myself doing, I've got this through that. Why am I cleaning my room? Why am I, you know, throwing things away? Because I've got to get rid of some clutter so that I can at least, you know, begin to deal with the stuff that's going on in my head. But the demands are just unreal, unreal. And it's killing people. I was reading the other day, you know, I didn't actually go into the whole article, but I didn't need to because I understood. You know, young people are lonelier than old people.
Mm-hmm.
Today, young people are more lonely than old people, more anxious than old people.
I would believe that.
That was another thing we talked about, that those generations, they had their faith in God. The faith, it makes a difference. Not that it's, again, life is not easy, but having that faith in God does make a difference in how you see life.
So you were talking about, during the break, I'm going to choke on this lozenger. During the break, you mentioned about Josefina. She's our director of Religious Ed, just a wonderful woman who's been working as long as I've been working here. So we came to the same time. And this is what we're talking, 28 years right here in this parish. And you mentioned her frustration, you know, and her sadness feels like, you know, you're not making inroads. You're not, you know, or you were mentioning Tony as a catechist, the same thing. Your frustration that it's like a futile endeavor because it doesn't seem like people don't seem to be disposed. They don't seem to want what we want to give. And I feel that way often as well. I think Sunday going into Mass again, you know, when you see, you know, when we have a special Mass, you know, the church is packed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a nice day, a beautiful day. The discipline of the faith, you know, that we're supposed to fulfill the commandment in participating in the public worship of God on Sunday, at least on the Sabbath, that discipline isn't there anymore. And so it's a nice day, so we don't go to Mass.
No, we're outside enjoying the weather.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it, but people forget we have to come and thank God for all the blessings.
Yeah, and so as a priest, as a pastor, you feel like, well, maybe, you know, what am I doing wrong? You know, I need to get out of the way, and I tell you, I've told people, I'll get out of the way, if somebody can come, and do what I can't do, I'll step aside, Right now, you know, it's kind of like
I don't think anyone can do it.
Well,
I'll be honest.
No, there's a lot of people that can, but I don't know that it's just because Christina says I complain to Christina. She says other pastors, because she talks to a lot of the pastors, Well, she says they're saying the same thing.
Say the same thing.
Same
not
thing.
So, yeah, not so much that you're the only one who can do it, but I mean, I think, you know, getting, and we've talked about this a few times, I think people just, they want a show, and those days have to stop. I mean, you don't come to Mass for a show.
So listen, that brings me to another point. Now we're going to be all over the place.
But it's all related.
It's all related. Because when I was coming back from Rochester, so I deleted the 2,000 plus emails. I just cleaned it out because I thought it's just begging my attention, and I can't deal with it. I deleted it all. And then of course, I watch the news and all that, and you just, boy, your head begins to spin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Boy Scouts, and now they're bringing girls in, you know, so how do you... I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on in the society? You know, there's pressure for this, pressure for that, change this, change that. We redefine family. Mm-hmm. What's going on in the universities, you know, people are being empowered, but empowered to speak their mind, but you can't speak your mind. And there's no civil, you know, very little civil discourse today, it seems, in the society. I came back... I took a cab from the airport. Usually I take the train, but this time I took a cab for some reason. And, I know, I took a cab because I had blisters on my feet. Because I was walking in Rochester and I have these shoes.
Oh, new shoes?
Yeah, and I walked for an hour and then I had these blisters on my feet, on my, you know, at the heel. Right. So I couldn't walk, you know, even from the train to the rectory. Wow. But that's why, and but anyway, so I'm in the cab, and the driver, we get into the whole thing. Oh, because I'm a priest, and so then he goes off into the whole thing about the corruption in the church, and he says, well, it's not so much the Catholic, but he's talking about the these evangelists, you know, and all this televangelists, mega churches, you know.
Right.
And so interestingly, I happened to. Look into this a little bit the other day. Really, you talk about a show, you know, where somebody like, I'm not going to name names, but draws thousands and thousands of people. But there's a lot of corruption in that, you know, and it really is a show in many ways. I mean, I'm not saying that God isn't somehow working there, but I'm just looking at this, and there's been a number of documentaries. I says, I couldn't sustain myself in something like that. If I felt like I have to entertain people, I can't do it.
But then they say a lot of those people are wealthy. I mean, they're driving cars.
Well, this is the thing. You know, they had the 10 richest evangelists in the world. And they're like multi-million. We're talking about like $150 million, you know. They've got a following of thousands of people, but it's there's a lot of manipulation that goes on.
You ask who they're following. Are they following that preacher? Are they following God?
And well, it's because people want an easy fix, or they're looking for a spiritual high. Not in all cases, maybe, but in a lot of cases. I mean, I have to be careful when I talk about that, but I realize, you know, that there's a point where... You don't, like, as far as our faith, or it goes back to, you know, the Catholic Mass, and we try to do it with a dignity, with beautifully, and in a prayerful way. We celebrate the sacred mysteries, but it is, it's not entertainment. We're not here to entertain, and it really is about the sacrificial offering and the offering of our lives in order then to receive Jesus, in order to be about the work of life. So... It's the sacred mysteries are it's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass in order that we can have communion with God, and if we're not able to enter into that because we're there to be entertained, or we're there to be to be entertained. What more can I say? Then it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We can't compete with the entertainers of the world, or the these evangelists who really put on a show. I mean, they really do, and have big bands and everything. And yes, this is amazing. But to get back to this, I want to get to this poem. But talking to the cab driver, you know, it's all about the corruption, and then the corruption in government and all that. And it just my head was spinning, you know. So that all these things that were going on, and then I'm preparing for Sunday, looking at the readings, and it was all about love. God is love, and I just thought, what does that mean? God is love, and how do you speak about that? We've asked the question many times. How do you define Christian love, the love of God? Well, it's sacrificial. It's not permissive. It's about responsibility. It's about generosity and gratitude, right? It's not self-serving, but it's serving others. And so in the first reading, Peter points beyond himself. He brings healing to a man, Cornelius, or conversion, and Cornelius pays him homage by falling at the feet of Peter. And Peter said, "Get up, I myself am also a human being." So he points beyond himself to God. And Jesus himself, he points beyond himself to the Father. So it's really to teach us that we have to look beyond ourselves. But then it goes into the whole, you know, God is love. But what does it say? But God is love. And Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you're in my love. And think of it, what St. John said a couple of weeks ago. He said, if you say you love God, but you don't keep the commandments, you're a liar. That was pretty strong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't, and I was just thinking about the last several weeks, there's just been a lot about God's love, but also and it's always coupled with the commandments, fulfilling the commandments, which means we are being bound in order to be free, right? Bound to the law of God in order to be free, not only that we're free, but that others are free as well. So I say, you know, if we're not fulfilling the commandment to give proper worship to God in a public, collective way, and to observe the Sabbath, which is a commandment of God, then we're not serving each other, right? Because we're adding to the chaos and to the unrest and to the confusion and to the wasted energy that's killing the society in a stressful way. But if we were collectively observing just that law, the worship of God, Sabbath rest, then not only are we being fed with the Word of God and with the sacraments, with the Holy Eucharist, with Jesus himself, but in that there is a transformation that happens. We understand now what is it to live in a rightful way, a righteous way. What are my responsibilities to you? You know? But anyway, as my head was spinning, did we take a second break or not? We didn't. We'll take a second break. As my head was spinning, as I was reflecting on how to convey the love of God when love has been so superficialized, it's been so cheapened, because God's love is sacrificial. And we seem to want to settle with a love that is permissive or a love that is not binding us to be responsible, or a love that is not sacrificial, where it becomes about me. People don't. So, and I say, you know, even in the church, not officially, but because we're in this culture, in this society, and we don't want to, you know, ruffle the feathers or rock the boat or whatever, we tend to just find that zone of comfort and keep it superficial, and, you know, not ruffle the feathers of any, you know, just, it's, I'm not going to bother you, you know, it's your, God is love, your love, I, you know, you do your thing, I do my thing, you know, and everything is okay, no judgment, you know, all this kind of stuff. The important thing, to do whatever you want, God loves you. Well, that's, God's love is a constant, it's a given, there's no doubt about it, but it's a demanding, it's a love that is demanding, it is not permissive, it is binding, it is about true freedom. Not the free reign of the flesh that enslaves, but about a submission to the Holy Spirit in order to be free, right? But in service rendered to others for love of God. But in the midst of all this chaos, all this confusion, as my head is spinning, what came to my mind was this poem that I read years and years and years ago, and all this, it just came to my mind. I couldn't get it out of my head, because I get tired of hearing myself speak. I get tired of thinking, trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. I feel this inability to reach deep into the heart, into the soul of another, you know, to want to bring them to a metanoia or conversion, or to want, you know, as we were talking in the break, you know, you as a teacher, as a catechist, Tony, with your students, you want them to embrace and to desire and taste this which you want to give, but when the student seems indifferent, or they're there because they have to be there, you know, it gets discouraging. It gets discouraging. So mm-hmm. we'll take a break, come back, and I want to share the poem, which when I went back and revisited it, I thought, wow, I need to, this is what I need to hear. Mm-hmm. And maybe the people need to hear it as well. So, okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal, but not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So this is, I was in the chapel, I was praying, my head's spinning for a wide variety of reasons, and not knowing anymore. Sometimes you feel like that. You feel like you're useless, or you feel like you have nothing to give, or you just don't want to think, you don't want to speak, you feel ineffective, mm-hmm. ineffective. Or that I'll sit there and say, you know, dear Lord, you know, I'm the impediment, I'm the barrier, and I don't know how to get myself out of the way to give you free possession of my life. And then, you know, looking at these, the entertainers, so to speak, I couldn't be that. I just can't be that. But sometimes I feel like I should have been born in a different age among a different people. So,
that's how I feel about myself.
But anyway, so as I was, you know, woe is me, oh, woe is me, and woe are you, oh God, that you have to deal with me. You know, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, poor the Lord, yeah, this is, you know, I'm done. You know, this is what you got to work with. And I'm the problem, perhaps, and maybe I am. You know, I don't know. But I tell you, it's too bad that it takes a whole life to learn. You know, where you're getting in the way. It's like I spent my whole life in the way, perhaps. But anyway, and so this, as my head is spinning, and I'm losing that interior peace, this voice in my head kept going back to this poem, Desiderata, Things Desired. And I hadn't read it in probably several decades, you know. And so I went back and I thought, well, just, you know, nice words, pious words, perhaps, you know, like the in the 60s and the 70s were all those, you know.
The flowers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, happy, love, happy. Love is never having to say you're sorry and all love that is. Stuff. You know, whatever. So, but I thought, well, maybe, but I couldn't. I gotta retrieve this this poem. And as I read it, I thought, my gosh, this is so beautiful. And it's so true. And we need to be reminded. And it's amazing. And I looked at I never knew really who wrote it, but it was written by an attorney, a businessman. His name was Max Herrmann, and he was a poet and a writer from Terre Haute, Indiana.
Wow.
Didn't realize that. I thought, you know, that he was from there. It was written in 1927. So that was before or during the Depression. I think it was right before the Depression, right?
I think so. Trying to think of when the Depression, I can't remember.
It's around that time. But anyway, yeah. But here's what he wrote. And I thought, geez, this is like, you know, what we need to hear today. And it really, it does, and he was a very religious man. So it kind of is a summation of the good news of the gospel. But he writes, he says, you know, go placidly amid the noise and the haste and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Now that right there, you know, as I say, the Blessed Virgin, when she asked that we open the doors to the church, it was that the cacophony of the world not shout into silence the voice of the living God. And what we try to preserve here is an ambiance that is sacred because it's been given to God, and that is silent so that God's voice can be heard. And where God is, there is peace, right? There's peace. Even if the Lord agitates in order to bring us to peace, because sometimes he has to move us out of our zone of comfort so that we can let the roots go deeper. So he's a little bit of agitating in order to bring us to a genuine peace, a deeper peace. But we have to, but so as far as possible, without surrender, be on good, without surrender, without compromise, without caving. Say that all the time. I say this, you know, we cannot, as Christians, we cannot compromise. We can't cave to the ideologies of our day. We can't surrender the faith. And so without surrender, be, but nonetheless, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. And that's a very important point as well, because everybody has a story. And if we would just, you know, quietly listen to those who may seem to be dull and ignorant, and listen to their story, then it brings us to compassion. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. They're shooting from the hip. We live in a loud, aggressive society. And in fact, people from other cultures see that in us. So avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourselves. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. And that's so true, too. Everybody's needed, really. Everybody is needed. Everybody is useful. The way a city works, the way life works, we're all needed. Yeah. So however humble our career may be, we should recognize how important it is in the changing fortunes of time. And I think about that too, you know, because I like, to be honest, really to be quite honest, if I had a preference, I would rather work with my hands than with my head. I happen to be in a vocation where I have to work with my head. What do they say, you know, these of the priesthood, these hands are made for
chalices.
Chalices, not calluses, you know. But I prefer to work with my hands. And I remember, you know, when I was even growing up, yes. I loved to work out in the yard. I loved, you know, I like to do things because you can think, you can contemplate, you can reflect on things. You know what I'm saying? It's but to have to use your head, I tire of that. That's, again, why we need the respite, why we need Sabbath. We need to rest the mind, put aside the thoughts, you know. I don't know how I got into that, but anyway. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. It's so true.
Yep.
But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. It's to keep that in perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Because we get overwhelmed by the trickery. Who do you trust? You know, fake news everywhere. You know, who do you trust? And I tell you, you know, we're in the church, you know. I love the city, the beauty of the city. But I just talked to somebody the other night, too, who happened to come for a confession after a long day. It was a full day. I just finished a healing mass, and somebody came. It was fine. It was okay. I was disposed for that. But then later he was just telling me about how vicious it is out there. It all looks so nice, you know. The city looks so beautiful. I mean, as you're looking down, as from here, as we're looking east and southeast into the city, into the skyline and into the downtown, or as I was driving around, it's also very beautiful. But he was saying there, out there, he says, it's vicious. He said, it's vicious. Do you know what I'm saying?
It is.
It's cutthroat.
Yeah.
It's cutthroat. And if there isn't the faith, mm-hmm. if there isn't the faith, then it's going to come down. It's all going to crumble. So, but don't lose sight of the fact that there are people. Don't be blind to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. We cannot turn a blind eye to that reality. Be yourself. Especially, do not feign affection. Don't pretend. Don't fabricate. Neither be cynical about love. For in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. So don't be cynical about love. In other words, and sometimes, you know, the temptation is that we can seem to be disenchanted, certainly bothered by what's happening in the society, and that this is, we're so stressed, so tense, you know, that we're killing ourselves. But we have to look to love, and where is that? But God is love. That's what Jesus said. You know, take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. And I think this is hard in our society today because we're such a youth-oriented society. And so we've got to, as we get older, we've got to be willing to let go, surrender the things of youth. Or even as I was speaking to this young woman yesterday. And I said, and maybe I've said this already on the radio today, but I said, you know, I'm kind of glad I'm here where I'm at. And there's a point we have to say, you know, you guys are going to have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to figure it out because we're tired. We're getting tired. And I did read that the millennials, I think I mentioned that, blame the baby boomers for their
whatever issues,
the disorder in their lives, you know, and maybe rightfully so, who knows. But we've got to be willing to surrender the things of youth. Nurture strength. Wow, we're almost out of time. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. And see, that's what happens in the stress. We become tired and lonely, and dark things happen, or dark things begin to emerge in the imaginings. So we got to be strengthened and nurture strength of spirit to shield us, to shield ourselves in the midst of all this. Beyond a wholesome discipline, in other words, be disciplined, but even beyond that, be gentle with yourself. You're a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt, and this is beautiful, the universe is unfolding as it should. You know, God is in control. He's the Lord of history. You know, therefore be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be. Well, we know who God is. He's revealed himself in in Jesus, in Christ. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, this is in 1927, he's writing that, imagine today, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful, strive to be happy. I like that he says strive to be happy, as if it's a work to be happy. No. Yeah. But that's, you know, it kind of interrupted the it's not really a poem, but it's a reflection. But it's really beautiful, I think.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful.
So much wisdom.
Be gentle with yourself. Be at peace with God. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Do you remember that song? I think it's called It's a Beautiful World. What was that?
Oh, yeah. I think
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
I think a diva. There's another song
called
Beautiful.
He's an African-American.
Yeah. African-American, yeah. Was it Nat King Cole or no?
Maybe it was Nat King Cole.
But beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful world.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, okay.
I don't know.
It's a beautiful world.
Those
check
phones.
It out.
Yeah.
Thank God for technology. Yeah. You can find it.
No, but there's a Devo song that I was thinking
Devo,
of.
Devo?
Devo. Devo. It's like a...
Devo?
No, D-E-V-O. De-Evolution. It was like a punk band.
Okay.
It's a wonderful world we live in, just like that. And that's what I was thinking about when you...
A nice song as
well. No, it's a good song. Wonderful world we live in.
But see, I tell you, see, if we had Sabbath, if we had siesta, we would know that. I think the problem is it's again this the noise, the rude noise, is we live in a society that doesn't want. This is the devil's work. He doesn't want. God wants that we have rest. Don't you think?
There was a time when I would think, you know, hey, there's no devil. That can't be. But if you look at this,
oh sure,
the devil. I mean, that's you want static. You want to be up. You want to be, you know, not rested. It's just, it makes so much sense.
Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong. That's right, yeah. Louis Armstrong. Beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah.
But exactly. The life is work and God knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why among these 10 laws given to us is the command to Sabbath rest. Yeah. And we don't observe it properly. And it has to include, it must include the worship of God, adoration of God, the surrendering of our lives to God, because from God comes peace. And like the reading said this past Sunday, it's not you who chose me, it is I who chose you. Not that you loved me, but I loved you first, you know? And so the invitation to respond in love to love. But it's a love that is not permissive, not, it is sacrificial. It's about responsibility. It's about gratitude. It's about generosity. It's our response to God who loved us into life and has redeemed us so that, yes, at the end of all things, at the end of this work, there will be eternal rest and peace. But in the meantime, if we put God first, we can have a bit of that peace in this life. All right. Thanks for being with us. We will be back. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.